what's up, fool? With What's Up, Fool podcast with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And Lisa Esparza. Hey. What's up, fool? Man, we're back. We have a guest today from East Los High. You guys might have known that show from Hulu. It's on Hulu TV. They've been on for, I don't know, man. They have
5 seasons?
500 episodes. I don't know, man, but you could binge watch the first two seasons. Also, I wrote for the show for the third season and the fourth season. You might recognize a couple of my jokes I threw in there, a couple of tags. I rewrote some good lines in there. Didn't get asked to come back the next season. And I can't tell you guys why, but my suspicion is they had another comedian there who was the lead writer. And you know, when you have a comedian there who's writing for the show, and then they hire another comedian to tag it up and look for punchlines, that means that comedian wasn't funny.
He was shaking in his boots.
Not even funny on paper. They have to find a comedian that was hot, that was funny. I don't know what I'm saying, I'm just making stuff up. But I was, comedians, anybody who entered in the entertainment business, for example. No examples. I'm the example. We always think there's someone out to get us. Or it was because somebody is plotting against us when we don't get stuff. And then you get stuff and you realize, man, I was stupid all this time. That's the way stuff is.
Hell yeah, man.
Like when I used to think, how come I'm not getting booked? But then I realized only people who don't get on the 101 North know who you are. You are funny. You are famous from here to the 605.
El Money.
And you know what? That's true because every time I perform past the 605, the shows are sold out now.
Hell
Ontario. Because
yeah.
I used to do a lot of shows over there back in the days, man. Like, there were a lot of shows to make $100. Like, one show would pop up somewhere.
Hell yeah. Just to stack it up.
Like, they would have a lot of shows. Like, Sebastian Satina would have a show in far, bro. I remember he had a show really far.
Blythe.
And people showed up. I don't know where they came from.
I know, huh?
But also, man, I've done a lot of Elks Lodges. Like, I would perform at Elks Lodges. Those people weren't... It's funny. It's good to perform. I'm very fortunate to perform at shows where they know I'm coming. They know what they're going to expect. Before, all the shows were like, we're having a comedy show today, and this week we have Toby Hicks, Felipe Esparza, Wheels, Rodrigo Torres. You know, whatever. They'll just put you, they'll set you up with anybody.
Right.
Like a potpourri of comedians. And people will choose who they like. People will walk out during the show. Always your problem, people walk out during the show. Like they get up. And they didn't like it. They didn't like the show. We can't give you your money back.
All sales are final.
You know, all you have to do, man, most of the show where people didn't like me, all they did was get up and go play pinball.
Go there, shoot pool for a little bit, huh?
So did we talk about Boulder, Colorado last week? No, we just went straight to the we went straight to the show. We had fun in Boulder, by the way. It was cold.
Dude, it was cold.
We went to a shop. Shout out to that guy that took us to that shop.
What was it, the 14er?
The 14er. Shout out to the 14er.
The biggest
shop, I guess, one of the biggest shops.
Grow operation
in Boulder. They took us to the warehouse, man. My jacket still stinks.
Dude, I've never seen that much bud, like in one.
And it was good.
Yeah.
That's how you know the grower from the non-growers. Like that, me, I've grown one plant, and it's never gotten that big or that large. But I did get to the nugs, but I didn't wait long enough to smoke it. Like, I was excited, bro.
Oh, dude.
Everybody messes up the first batch, huh?
Most of the time, dog. You'd be lucky if you do get a good strong plant.
But if you were to grow your own pot in your house legally, like it's supposed to right now, it's legally. You could legally grow up to what?
I don't know. I think, what is it, six
plants? I think
plants?
Six plants.
Yeah, if you grow your own pot, just say you start growing your own pot in your house, you know, like somewhere hidden away from the kids, you make your own box, you can pretty much...
make your own box.
Yeah, your own weed box. Yeah, grow it on, yeah. like sherms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he have it in like that hole in that water heater container?
You ever done that before?
Only on the outside. I've done it on the inside too, with lights.
And that cut it off?
Nah, dude. When I was 17, I grew one, and I thought they were going to rip it out, but they were like, oh, dude, it looks fucking cool. I was like, damn.
Did it come out?
Yeah, dude. It was bomb.
So they took us to the process. They took us to the where all the plants are at. Man, that place stunk. And then we went
to the... It stunk on the way there, right?
Man.
Now, remember when we were driving there? The driver's like, look, smell it right now. You can smell the weed. The guy that owns six helicopters. remember that fool?
Our driver, Dominican guy, he took us... driving to radio, we were coming from Denver. He goes, Papa, lower all the windows. And we lower all the windows. Now, take a whiff. And let me tell you, man, the freeway smelled like pot.
Yeah, dude. It like, did smell like
the
mad
outside blood. The car, like pot, like everywhere.
Aroma.
And they have it inside warehouses, but all the exhaust is going outside.
Hell yeah. It was that 1% Dino Indian driver.
Yeah, man. And we, after they took us where the plants were, they took us to the place where the plants are being stored and hung.
Hell yeah.
That was fun, huh?
Dude,
they were sticky.
Hell yeah. What's up? Were those the biggest buds you've ever seen?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I could have slept in there.
Even if you don't like weed, dude, come on. You can't tell me it doesn't smell good, dude.
Man, if you guys would have seen the trim room, you would have told yourself, man, I would like to scrape that resin off those scissors.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Put that shit in a bowl.
How much Keith was stuck in those scissors?
Dude, there was like scissors, like three or four scissors that were just like open that you know that they had to like scrape that shit off to get them to work again.
Yeah, you got to use like alcohol to clean those.
Yeah, they were just
off.
Sitting like that because I touched one. I tried it and it wouldn't go.
Those scissors wouldn't close no more. They're full of resin.
Damn. Yeah, and man. The, caked in there, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they use everything. They recycle everything. We went to the trash can and there were only sticks.
Yeah. Because they even use those, they extract something out of there.
They get all the leftover buds, all the trim to make wax and to make oil and to make edibles.
Yeah.
And a lot of the water, you probably think, man, they probably waste a lot of water. No, man.
Reuse it.
They reuse it. They reuse the dirty water and they keep using it. They keep using it. Even they don't waste nothing.
Yeah, it's all like.
Because water could go be expensive. Huh?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
How could the coldest place I've ever been to have so much weed? Warehouses.
Dude, I don't know, man.
It was fun, man. We got to the night before. We walked, took a long walk, went to a pizza place. Everybody was nice there.
Until that bro that was in there where we got those pizzas.
Yeah. And we did the show. It was packed. People showed up.
That show was nuts, dude.
Toby was cold. He was going to freeze my toes.
Shit, we thought he was cold in Boulder. He gets colder, though.
He was cold. We were there with Carboni, Johnny Roque, with his, didn't know how to work the camera.
All of a sudden. My goodness.
He needed the code or the password.
It's funny,
like,
man. The camera works great when they do a video with Nick Guerra. I'm serious, man. Like, I see the videos that Mark Torres do with Johnny Roque. Those videos look good that lighting.
Who you guys fucking with? Scorsese.
That is fucking hilarious.
When you fly them out, you pay them, you put them on a show, and they fucking can't film a fucking shit. I don't understand. I don't know. My battery wasted. not charged.
Dude,
what phone
at
wasn't
pornos?
Charged? What phone wasn't charged with Johnny?
Maybe we should
then
just bring
everything's
Nick,
sideways.
Maybe we should just bring Nick Guerra with us, bro. Fuck that shit. We'll just bring Nick Guerra with us. Another video will look good. We'll be in it with him.
Oh, my God. I have to have Sandra listen to this part of the show.
Hilarious.
She's going to die.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not saying anything. I haven't already told them, by the way. So don't say I'm talking
shit. I'm glad you went off on them because they deserved that, both of them.
But they looked at me like I don't know, man. Like, they never been yelled at. I didn't even yell, bro.
Dude, I pulled that.
I called you for a
mistake. You bagged him on. You called him out on it.
I told you, are you fucking serious, dude? Give me a break, dude.
And then
Martin,
Martin, his were sideways. No, no, no. What was the? Oh,
it was Johnny Roque.
Oh no, Martin took a video of that food. Because shout out to
Styrofoam.
Quesadilla.
Yeah, the
Styrofoam and Sharpies,
food boxes.
Quesadilla La Reina del Sur. in Chicago.
Shout out to them. Good
they
man.
They made great Mexican vegan food, and they made a bunch of tacos and stuff for you guys, rice and beans. But you didn't see any of it except the pico de gallo.
Yeah.
All the other packages were closed. Martin's running his phone over the table of styrofoam packages, like, look at this great food. And none of it was shown, and I was so
none
mad.
See what happens when you don't have a dad?
I sent that video to Marcella and Sandra, and I was like, look at the numbnuts I have to work with.
Look at little rascals over here.
I was so mad.
Oh, my God, dude.
Anyway, yeah, sure. Anyway, they're coming to Coachella this week.
They'll be here with a Coachella, man.
Look, it's Spanky and the crew, dog.
Trying to redeem there. Themselves.
Oh, my God.
It was funny, man. Rizzo had a cold sore the whole week.
Yeah, they're
you
gone now.
You can't even see it. I don't understand.
Oh, you can see it, dog. I did the up close, the zoom ins with the IG.
This is hilarious, man. That fool said, I'll be getting, you know how when people have a fever blister, what they call it first. They say it out.
Can't
we looked at it, bro. Why are you covered up, bro? What are you, lying his ear?
Oh, that's why he had his big old scarf on his face? Oh, my God.
He had it indoors. This fool slept with it.
He loved the cold.
And then they went.
Yeah, he wanted to go away because they make it grow.
And then we asked him, bro, I asked him, what you have right there? He goes, oh, man, I've been getting something little. Bro, take a photo of that shit and send it to your lady. Because Rogio's lady, she's an expert on cold sores. She was at a clinic, right?
We made it up, dog. But nah, dude. Because the one time I had a cold sore, I couldn't even kiss her for a week after, dog. But
so who kissed her, bro?
She had a weight.
I would have kissed the top lip, bro.
But you know what the little guy said, fool, at the airport? Oh, nah, my girl, I'm all, dude, are you going to go home and she's going to see the cold sore? He's like, oh, nah, she already knows about it. She kissed me already, bro. She's ride or die.
She has a matching one.
Yeah. I was like,
on the other side.
You should have seen the face that Toby made, dog. You thought he made a mess of face being cold. He's like, oh, my God. Yeah, she gave it to him.
I told that fool, bro, you got to fucking go to a bathroom. Dry that shit up.
No, don't touch it.
Grab some wax out of your ear.
Earwax.
Earwax and put it right there, bro.
Sounds gross. But
and go to sleep. I don't know about that.
Yeah, he didn't even try it, I bet. Because I sent a picture to my lady. She's like, nope, that's a cold sore.
Fever blister is a cold sore. It's like your water bug name.
Yeah.
Just I know, man. And in New York, man, he didn't want to be next. He didn't want to be next to a Luis Guzman. Because Luis Guzman, papa. Papa, you got
a
little pineapple in there.
Pineapple?
Got a little slice of mango.
What's up, fool? Forgot to mention, we had Louis Guzman from the podcast. You got no hearing from the podcast?
He did a favor.
And Pechanga.
Yeah, man.
Boogie Nights. That fool, man. That fool took comedy back to 1990s, bro. That fool
La
had
chancleta.
Fun. That fool was throwing chancla at the audience, bro. No, really, he had a bag.
He
had a bag, and I'm thinking, man, what is in that bag? And I was like, man, I bet you that fool's going to bust out something out of that bag on stage. Or that was lunch. So he went up there. Tell him what happened, bro. You saw the whole show.
Oh, dude, this fool was fucking happy, first of all. Excited, jumping up and down.
That fool showed up with a jersey that said Lower East Side.
Yeah, Lower East Side. That's his, like, favorite son right there, dude. He came with a little entourage. Dude, he's on stage. Dude,
a lot of people in that entourage. Sorry.
It's all gravy. But he went on stage, man. He gave him the whole little Puerto Rican experience with the mother dog. And that's when he pulled out the chancleta. Dude, he tossed about four of those in the audience, smacking heads, dude. He thought, nobody sue me then. We're going to have a case, dude.
That's why I want to go to the after party, bro. I thought they were going to be waiting for him with the chocolates. Imagine if everybody were waiting for you to the chocolate and just beating him with it. That'll be a good video.
Yeah, dude.
He was happy, man.
He was happy, dog.
I didn't even know he had material. He just went up there, huh?
Yeah, and dude.
A lot of people weren't expecting him, huh?
Nah, dude. People tripped out, dude. It was cool, man.
He was happy, bro. And, oh, man. There was a meet and greet, of course. And, you know, man, I get starstruck when I see legends. You know, being that Louis Guzman is from the Lower East Side, I don't know if you guys ever heard of John Michel Basquiat. And if you ever seen that movie Basquiat, you remember that in the movie John Michel Basquiat, he had a friend in the movie who was played by Benicio del Toro, mm-hmm. and that was homeboy, and together they were like part of a tagging crew called Samo, which is same old shit.
Yeah,
and the guy was there. I mean, these guys were in the movie. I remember them in the movie jumping him, and oh man! So shout out to Danny Minnick, and also man, also the guy that Danny Minnick. Samo and the other guy, Al Diaz, they're artists. And man, I wish I would have got to their art studio. But now, next time I go to New York, I'm definitely going to go to their art studio and check out all other styles. Look him up, man. His name is Danny Minnick, M-I-N-I-N-I-C-K. And the other guy is Al Diaz. And they're both artists from the Lower East Side. And they pretty much represent. If you guys look at their art, you're going to see the similarities between him and the old school style of John Basquiat. And they started that style. See it? They started that style. They have merch, and they have good, man. I wish I would have had more time to talk to them, but it was so brief. And these guys were like, they did some of the bombest original social movement graffiti from back in the days.
That shit came out of all.
Did you recognize them?
Yeah, with the hip-hop movement and all that. Those dudes been doing graffiti since 40 years, at least 40 years.
Like, they go back all the way to Beat Street, huh?
Yeah, man.
Like, when it was the grungy fucking New York.
Those guys were...
And they know your friend.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne. When I was living in New York... Well, first of all, there was a squatter movement around that time, too, in the early 90s. So that's buildings? Still... Yeah, it's that was like the end of that art movement. But... Debbie Harry used to hang out with Basquiat and those people. It was like, you know, Andy Warhol, that era. But what's his face? Basquiat's lady was named Suzanne Maloof.
Maloof.
In the movie, though, they call her Gina something. But Julian Schnabel, who made the movie, director and writer, he was like a kind of like a hanger-on. This is how it's described to me by Suzanne. Julian was a hanger-on to the art community. He was kind of a little more... He was jealous of Basquiat all the time. And didn't... he didn't reach the level of acknowledgement as Basquiat, you know? But he took this story and he made it into a movie. But he basically changed her character enough so he didn't have to pay her for use of her likeness or anything like that. But everybody knew it was her. He's got a painting called Suzanne. As well, and that's Suzanne. But anyway, she was my boss at a restaurant. She went through this period of like homelessness and
really?
Yeah, shit. And then, but she was Persian, and she her family expected more. Her whole family was like professionals and stuff, you know.
Forget about it, man.
And so she was kind of shunned by them for a while. But then she was working as a manager at Mesa Grill, Bobby Flay's restaurant, when I worked there. And she was my manager for like a year and a half, and she would tell me stories of hanging out over there. Yeah, now she's a fucking pediatrician out of nowhere. I mean, sorry, pediatric psychologist is what she does. So she she handles little kids like that. She's a professional in her field now. It's so weird. Like, this woman lived on the streets with Basquiat, and now she's a pediatric psychologist.
Is she from New York originally?
Not originally. Her fam. I don't know what area she's from. But
she grew up there?
We met Louis Guzman's son. Shout out to him. His name is Sammy Guzman. That fool, he looked a lot like the young, what's his name? He looked like Aquaman right here, though.
Oh, that guy. I forget his name.
The guy that comes on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Aquaman. Fuck.
Jason, what's his name?
Married to Lisa Bonet, right?
What's his name? Momoa, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a little version of that fool.
Yeah,
that's
man.
When we were kicking it with him at that party. At the,
yeah, they were all cool people, man.
And did you see that little fool that looked like Chepo, that other graffiti artist? This
yeah, right here. Al Diaz, right?
This fool.
Yeah, I met him, but I didn't know he was the artist, too.
That's Sloan Four, dog. That's
Sloan
another,
Four?
Yeah.
That fool's him. Famous.
Yeah, we were hanging out with him at that thing.
Ty, bro.
Yeah, fool.
Lower East Side Rocks.
Victor Ramos, dog.
Victor Ramos.
Dude, he gave a little Puerto Rican blessings,
dog. They had a rapper that was named Ramos who died in a show. My man, Ramon.
Yeah, man. That fool was cool as fuck, though.
Getting a goosebump right here, bro. I'm glad I'm wearing my Adidas suit. I need to go over there and do shows in the summer, bro, just to hang out over there.
Dude, that...
Lower East Side is great.
We barely even, like... Dude, we haven't even, like... Dude.
Lower East Side is a mix of old Jewish neighborhood and Puerto Rican Dominicans who moved in later. But it's cool. You can go on a pickle tour. They have a pickle making tour because there's a lot of delis down there, original Jewish delis. Sense. And there used to be this area. I don't even know if it exists anymore. But it was like it was like the alleys, you know, here, yeah. Santee Alley. But over there, it was called Orchard Street. And it was all these mostly Russian Jewish merchants in open air sort of stands selling stuff, leather jackets and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Shout out, man, to everybody out there that think it's ridiculous. Well, I gotta talk about this, man.
What happened, fool?
Man, let me tell you, man, how the fuck you think you're just going to start a new California and not expect to get fucking jumped in by the rest of California? Don't you know that California is a gangster fucking state? You just can't leave without getting jumped out, bitch. Man, to get jumped out of California, we got to count to 50 because that's 50 states. Plus, we'll be so pissed off, we might add two more states, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands now. We got 52 seconds of getting a beat down. Fuck that shit. We might add Jamaica in there. 53 seconds. Man, how the fuck are you going to decide and say we're going to declare ourselves? Because we don't get treated right by the our votes don't count. I'm sick and tired, man, of people that crying over here saying that my vote doesn't count. My vote doesn't count. We're going to start a new California. Fuck that shit, man. You can't start a new California without getting jumped out.
Dude.
Our vote doesn't count. Man, let me tell you, man. Our vote doesn't count. But your vote not counting. The whole Senate is Republican. All Congress is Republican. We got a Republican president. Come on, man. Your vote counted.
I think they're talking about locally. They're pissed locally. They want all the
control. I'm on a roll here, by the
I'm
way.
I'm sorry.
You killed my shot.
That statement don't count. That does count.
The interruption.
Coming over here. Our alternative news.
But it's just a movement.
No, but still, man. Like,
I'm sorry. Shit. Continue on.
They're just crying. But, you know, they took all the good parts, bro. No, they left us, like, if you see how it's divided, it's, they keep San Diego. You know what, man? San Diego, man, they already took the Chargers. So we took everything we could probably take from you.
Take the Padres, too.
We're going to take Frog next. we're gonna take Frog, and that fool's going to live over here in Lancaster. Because that's the part of the neighborhood he will blend in well. Though, anyway, so the way it's divided is all of Los Angeles, but not, they're going to cut part of Los Angeles, too. Probably the good side, I
taking
guess.
Taking Calabasas?
Yeah. So it goes all the way from Los Angeles, and it ends in San Francisco. We keep San Mateo. We keep Santa Cruz, but they're taking San Jose, bro. How the fuck are you going to take San Jose without asking the people of San Jose if they want to remain part of the old California?
Better ask the Tigres first. Eh?
They're stupid, man, because they say they're not represented right. You're not going to get represented no more because now we're going to have four new Senates in California because we need two in the old state and we need two in a new one. So it'll still be the same. Dude, talk to me, Rodrigo. You know more about me. I'm just venting. What?
Nothing's going to happen with that stuff, dude. It's just a movement. They want to try to get it on the ballot. Ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing whatsoever. Oh, the announcements?
No.
Oh.
Talking to him.
But I don't think anything's going to happen. It's just a movement. I remember when, was it 2 years ago they tried to get a little separate thing? California.
2014.
Yeah. Again, that's another battle cry.
They're going to just separate California through four states. It was Northern California, Southern California, and then California.
Dude, there's no way this is going to happen, dude.
You know, it's just gerrymandering, bro. Because, you know, the Republicans, it's hard for them to win over here. And by the way, anybody listening out here, we're not getting political. We're not picking sides. We're just stating the fact about how stupid it is to divide California where we're one nation under God.
Right? Fair
we're
and impartial.
California, man. We're already divided anyways, man. We know there's two Californias in prison. We know it's cut off. Somewhere. We know the cutoff is in Bakersfield.
But dude, ain't nothing gonna happen with
people
that.
People are
dude.
Saying, "Fuck that whole." It's divided into Fresno. Anyways, with the new California, they're taking Fresno, bro. They're taking all the lands where there's farms.
Yeah, well, it's all like the based on an agricultural.
We're stuck with Hollywood.
Economy.
Yeah. We're stuck with Morro Bay.
What do you think? Ain't nothing going to happen. It's still going to be California. Dude, stronger than ever. With all the division happening in the country, dude, do you think that's going to bother us, dude?
It's just Stop a distraction,
it already.
Bro.
Stop it already.
It's a distraction.
Dude, because you hear all that bullshit when they always cry about the water, you know, Northern California. Dude, what's it got to do with us? You're getting a check, right?
We're thirsty.
Yeah, man. You and the guy from Cake, man. Come on now. Enough.
Man, I just found out, man, that 239 pounds is a new 280.
You know I'm 198, right?
Yeah, bro. When I saw when the president got the check for 209, he's 6'3", and I'm thinking to myself, wasn't that motherfucker 6'2" 2 years ago? How's he getting taller? And we're getting shorter.
He's the best.
Dude.
The best
no, at nobody everything. Grows better than me.
Nobody grows better than me.
Nobody grows an extra inch better than me.
It's the biggest inches you've ever seen in your
239
life.
239 pounds. And I'm not hating a president. I'm not hating anything about him. I'm just hating as a fat person. And I'm fat. And I know what a 239 looks like.
Exactly. If you're
me
fat, you know.
Me in 2002.
On a little bitch.
Ah, bro. When he said he was 239, I said, I gotta be. No way.
Fool, that's fake news.
6'3", 239? No, man. No, man. No, no. I'm gonna have to say no. Because I'm 6'1", 285 when I'm lucky. And when I go to sleep, I'm 293.
Shit, dude. You know that porn star knows that fool ain't no 239.
There you go, bro. It's not even a fact yet.
Oh, it's a fact.
She said that she has sex with Trump 4 months after Barron was born.
Yeah.
And then, like, during the pregnancy. See, man, that's something only a man would do. Only a man would do something like that. And you know what, man? Everybody's guilty of that. Don't be trying to talk bad about the president because he does stuff like that. We've all done that.
We you
all
have? Little
shit, when my son was born, I was driving some chick's car.
Which one, Philip?
There you go.
Oh, God.
Naming names.
You brought up that we all do that.
I'm making it
I
up
have
here.
Questions.
I was there when you had those 3 miscarriages. I was driving the car, passing up napkins.
Oh, you were not.
I was like Henry Hill in Goodfellas when that guy comes in shot. You know how many towels you wasted on that guy?
It was like that. It was like that. And it was like
OJ trying to clean up the murder.
Yeah. It was like the guy dying and Tim Roth dying and the
backseat. Oh, yeah, man. That's how Lisa was, man.
In Reservoir Dogs.
When she was having the third miscarriage.
We were on our way to Oxnard.
She was having a miscarriage while I was driving in traffic. I was just passing out napkins. The pens. She was like bleeding in the back like Tim Roth in Reservoir Dogs. I've been shot. Don't die on me. Don't say you're going to die.
He was sneaking peeks at what was going on. He was like, what the hell?
I was seeing body parts come out, bro.
There was a body part. There was no baby in that
Slip
one.
In the back.
It was just everything else.
That's funny. When she had the miscarriage this time, that there was like only
the rabbit was in the back seat.
Freak out the baby.
Slip in the back like this scared, bro.
She was staring at the backpack.
What's happened to my mom?
She was staring at Isaac's backpack, like just focusing. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, man, we had a woman with a miscarriage. Felipe worried about the show. The rabbit in the back, staring at Isaac's backpack.
Yeah.
We got Isaac worrying about he's gonna play games when he gets there.
That's all he thinks about. Are they gonna have cheese sticks backstage?
Are they gonna have grilled cheese
and wings?
I don't know how we got here, but we're here now.
I don't know.
All men do that.
Oh, man, so that's what happened, man. I'm just pissed off about every time somebody tried to. First of all, I don't even matter when they announced the president elect. I was mad the people that were how they reacted in California when President Trump was elected was some divisive shit, bro. Like, we're gonna fucking secede from the nation.
It's all right.
Come on, man. Nobody's going to secede from this nation, man. I don't want to secede. I don't want to go back to Mexico. I don't want to get deported for some reason. I follow the rules because I love playing behind the rules here.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to play behind the rules in another country I've never been to.
You can't, though, over there.
Let me tell you, man, the only time I go to Mexico is for nothing.
Medicine.
I don't know. No, I know my family's over there. Hey, if they want to visit me, come on down. But I don't want to go over there, man. We live for a reason, you know, for a better life. Because we were poor. It's better to be poor in America than to be poor in Mexico. Because over there, they don't give a fuck about you. There's no like, there's never a speech by anybody. Ahora tenemos que ayudar a los pobres porque son los importantes de México y son la gente más importante, la sangre de este país. You never hear speeches like that. Only in America, we gotta help out the poor.
Hell no.
Because of the blood of this country.
You don't see any rich Mexican people leaving Mexico?
Hell no, man. And another thing, man, when Trump said, this is not a joke or bagging, it's just a comedy joke. Because comedians, we write jokes. He said, how come white people never come from Norway? You know why? Because they have free dental over there. They have free benefits.
They have free health care until
free
they're
18. Free health care.
Education.
Let me tell you, man, white people, there's no white poor people that want to come over here. They're good where they're at. They don't want to sneak over here and pay for college.
Or Section 8.
They don't want to pay for college. Like in Czechoslovakia, white people over there, like if we were married over there and Lisa gets pregnant, she could be pregnant. She could leave work and still get paid and decide when she wants to come back.
In Australia, you get like $5,000 when you have a baby from the state, from the government, from the country. You know what I mean? Like $5,000, you get a year off of work, you get midwifery care in a midwife hospital over there. It's crazy.
The only way white people from Europe are going to die to come to America, if we bomb their country.
Refugees,
like if we start a war right now, you know what? Fucking Germany is pissing me off. These Prague assholes, these Czechs, and you start bombing them, then they want to come over here because then... Yeah. You don't want to leave the party while the party's still going on.
We had Norwegian immigrants many years ago, and they were poor before their economy.
You're
took
Norwegian,
a change.
Aren't you?
I had 4% Norwegian showed up on my DNA. I was surprised at that.
Get
I don't
Norwegian.
Know anybody Norwegian in my family.
Coming over here and stealing jobs from Mexicans.
And I'm Irish, so we stole all the jobs first.
We're here with a little clover.
Do you want to do the show announcements, or you want me to do it?
You could do it.
The dates, the tour.
You sound better.
No. I'll just zip through them faster, though. January 19th, tomorrow morning. I think I'm going to put this up Thursday night. 10 a.m., Boyle Heights, Primera Taza, on First Street. Felipe's doing a meet and greet. Coffee with Felipe. Coffee with Felipe from 10 to about 12. He'll also be selling tickets to his L.A. shows March 23rd. And you can pay cash, you can pay card, no service fees added onto the tickets. And he's also going to be selling his vinyl album in person there and signing them if you buy one there. And we also take cash and card for those. January 20th, Coachella at Spotlight 29 is sold out. January 27th, Tucson, Arizona, Desert Diamond Casino, Sahuarita, Arizona. That is almost sold out. There's a handful of tickets left. February 1st through 3rd, Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club. February 14th, Valentine's Day, Corpus Christi, American Bank Center with Raymond Orta.
Raymond Orta. Shh.
And then February...
That's going to be a funny show because Raymond Orta is hardcore cowboy fan, like Prende la Vela and shit. That's how he blew up, by ranting that cowboy thing. And I kind of blew up myself by ranting that Dodger thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Raider fan. That'd be funny, man. I'm going to wear my Raider jersey when I see him.
Yeah, you guys should have like a showdown.
That should
something.
Be like, we should do a little video when we get there.
Yeah. So February 4th, tickets are on sale now for that. February 22nd, Lemoore, California, up by Fresno area, Central Valley, Tachi Casino. February 23rd, Las Vegas, Nevada, Treasure Island Casino. February 24th, Rochester, Washington, Lucky Eagle Casino. A lot of things.
What's up for Rodrigo? How'd it go last night for that Flaco show?
It was good, dude. We had a good little turnout, dude. Fucking raised some money for Flaco.
Oh.
And, gave him his envelope this morning, dude. So, thank you to all the comics that came out, man.
I heard he's looking skinny, bro, like a fucking skeleton key.
Yeah, a little skinnier, dude. They opened him up through the middle, dude, the sternum, dude. So, you know, they went through his procedures, be home in a couple days, hopefully, and then be nice and back to regular Flaco in about a couple weeks.
Breaking us.
I know, man. Fuck, dog. But it's all good, man.
Damn, he's looking skinny, though? He's skinnier than before?
Yeah, dude.
He could walk through a harp. What's up, fool? Man, what else we got going on, bro?
That's it. Oh, we haven't talked about Chi-Town. Oh, remember? That was really cold.
Shut up. We just got back from Chicago, man. Man, we had the tiniest rooms, but it was the best. Like, our room. No.
Actually, Chicago wasn't small.
We had a suite, like a little living room. It was cold.
7 degrees.
Man, 7 degrees. And everybody, I didn't want to do nothing. Postmates, shout out to them, man, for delivering me food that I didn't have to go outside. Yeah, man. I was freezing, bro.
Chicago Diner yesterday, the day before, was
good. I don't know how you could just kill people over there, bro, all day long.
Easy, man. A lot of
who's colder, me? Who's colder, me or you? Me? No, you're not. I'm fucking colder. What are they fighting for? You know what happened, man? You know what people fight in Chicago for? People don't talk about this. It's because you had 3,000 people that used to live in one building.
Cabrini Green.
You got the other project.
Robert Wharton Homes.
Robert Wharton. And you got another housing project. We're talking like 10,000 people that got displaced, and they got sent to different neighborhoods. Let me tell you, when you send 10,000 different hoods to different neighborhoods, a new hood is going to start over there. So there's gangbanging, bro. Just like when they built the East LA Exchange Freeway in Boyle Heights in 1960-something, like they used to be, they broke down so many houses in East LA to build the four freeways, the 60, the 101, the 5, and the 10 to meet together. They forgot that there was gangs down there too, bro. There was one big gang back then, White Fence. And then he broke that up. Now there's a gang in Diamond Street because, you know, people franchise gangbanging.
Hell yeah, you got to redistribute that shit.
I'm going to start a franchise over here.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, man. Like, my neighborhood disappeared, but I heard that my neighborhood now, again, is in San Bernardino because a lot of people from my neighborhood moved to San Bernardino. So they have over there, you know, they have a different store.
Yeah, dude. Remember in the 90s when everybody went to Lancaster, Palmdale, Moreno Valley? All that shit spread out there.
Bro, when everybody from South Central left South Central to move to Moreno Valley to be safer. Now Moreno Valley is fucked up.
Oh,
now it's
dude.
More Negro Valley.
That's midnight. That's what they call it?
Oh, and also Moreno Valley for Mexicans.
Oh, wow.
Even Ice Cube moved over there.
Eazy-E moved to Riverside.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Screaming Compton, but you moved to Riverside.
Yeah, and a lot of my homeboys, they moved to Lancaster, bro.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there.
Lancaster Flats.
So that's what we talked to the Chicago cop, dude, was about what's going down right there in
Jose,
Chicago right
shout
now.
To Jose,
there's
who?
A mad war right now with all those gangs coming together and like drug dealing. People are dying left and right, dude.
I'm glad I found out he was a cop because I was almost going to ask him, man, where's a good place around the corner to smoke a joint?
Probably would have sold it to us, dog.
Fool. I had a good time, man. The last night, I rolled up that guy from the hotel room, Andy. Shout out to Andy. First of all, man, if you're planning on going to New York, and if you're a pot smoker like ourselves, bring your own blunts, okay? Bring your own Swisher. Bring your own Backwood. Bring your own Philly blunt. Bring your own wraps. Bring your own zigzags. They don't sell none of that in Manhattan. None of that. Cigarettes are $19 a pack.
Dude, they were expensive.
I quit years ago. And blunts. Just one blunt will cost you $4. So if you want to start a business in Manhattan, showed up with 5 boxes of Swishers and stand in the corner, man, sell them.
I wouldn't recommend that if I could end up like Eric Gardner and shit.
Yeah. That's why he got shot.
For that, selling the Lucy's. He got choked out by the cop. But that one cop in Chicago, his name's Jose Jara. So.
Jara. He's shout owner of the Jarritos company. What's up, fool? We have a guest today, Vanessa Rodriguez.
Vasquez. Oh, my God.
Look at my glasses right there.
That's why she gave you the paper, fool.
And then you crumpled it up. You crumpled it up.
Look at my new building.
Yeah, man.
Vasquez. I got you a shirt.
Oh, thanks.
How you doing?
We don't give presents to anybody. Ask your publicist. She brought Citric and we gave him nothing. We gave him nothing.
I love the flor. You know, it's like como la flor, like Selena. No,
yeah. It's like a mazapan.
Oh, it is a mazapan.
It's the same color and everything.
I get it.
I got it for everybody because Latinos, we break easy.
We're vulnerable.
We're vulnerable, man. We'll easily attack you. Like you've been in a conversation with somebody and you don't like that person already, but then they mention something and you right away think about you. What, bitch?
We're sensitive.
We mentioned it earlier. She is the star of East Los High. The only character that's been there forever. Everybody else, they got a young one or older one. How did that come about? I met the... East Los High, it's a popular show on Hulu Man, I binge watched the first two seasons, bro. Like, I was hooked. Like, you were like, we were so hooked on it. Like if my wife would have watched it before me, I would have thought she was cheating on me. You fucking watched that shit? Don't worry, I saw that shit on the bus too. But it was good, man. It was good, man. Like, it's about relationships, bro. Uh-huh. About cheating, pregnancy, and immigration. And all those problems get solved in a dance contest.
Everybody battles each other out.
Battle off?
Oh, dude. But it's dramatic, bro. Because sometimes, like, I remember the first season, there was a lot of bad chicks, you know, like, oh, like, I want her to be in the next season. I want her to be in this season. And you root for them. But then, like, they didn't come back. But I don't want to spoil it, man. But then one of them came back as a coach. I was like, oh, shit. She's back with attitude now.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
And whistle.
It was good. It's a good, good show.
It's a good show. It's like kind of. I mean, it's not marketed toward you, your age at all, right?
It's marketed to be come from Boyle Heights.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Right here in Skonka.
Of course, but
he's like, is that Skonka? That's me.
Yeah, that's the first time you had heard Skonka on TV.
I said, this show is legit.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you watch a show about East LA, but it's a bunch of white hipsters, you know, from Arkansas, and they don't know the lingo, and they're drinking water juice. Mexican juice, but really horchata. So man, I'm gonna put on my glasses right here. I'm gonna look like a Mexican biker on trial. Vanessa Vasquez, ladies and gentlemen, she plays Camila from East Los High.
Camila.
Look at that right here. She plays Camila.
They also know me as Camila Tequila.
Camila Tequila, you gotta watch the show to know that one.
Got a bottle here.
From Galveston, Texas. Yeah. Whoa, man.
Well, I was born in Galveston. I'm really from Houston, Texas.
But you've been to Galveston, though?
Yeah, they just delivered me there, dropped me off, and then...
She showed up in a storm. I remember when we went to Galveston.
It's really close, isn't it?
2 hour drive from Houston.
2 hours.
I don't know why we did that drive.
It's dumb.
It was dumb. The whole time we're driving, I keep thinking of a Lunel.
Because you had to get back to
the show. I'm thinking about, what if Chris Torrance gets sick?
Yeah. If you get in a car accident.
We drove 2 hours to Galveston, and then when we get there, we're stuck in traffic forever.
Oh, my God.
And we're not even moving. We're not moving. And I told him, you better park. Something's wrong here. And you know what? We were in a parade.
Oh, yeah.
We were in a parade, Vanessa.
Was it like during Mardi Gras?
Yes. Yeah. We were in a parade.
Yeah, because you got beads, right?
Yes. We didn't know, man. Why are they throwing beads at us?
They're like, show us your titties.
Did you show your titties?
I said, no, man, park. We parked, and then we walked to the beach.
This is something's wrong.
Oh, my God.
Galveston is one of those beaches that if you jump from the pier, you're going to get crucified by an old building that would need to be there.
Oh, inside the water? Underneath?
Yeah, Hurricane Sandy beat that place up. Beat it up. Galveston is like the Santa Cruz of Texas. It's real nice.
That's where
the waves come in hard.
That man shark right there, huh? That looks like Martin.
Yeah. So that's Galveston's story. Her family is from Monterrey, Mexico, raised by a single mother and her grandmother. Sounds like me, bro.
Sounds like every Mexican story. It's like, who raised you?
Tia?
My abuela.
But you grew up at a diner. What? Redneck with biological father in Mexico.
Redneck.
Reconnected, okay.
Oh. I was like, hold on 1 second.
It didn't write redneck.
It's crumbled up. It looked like a D.
That's your fault.
I'm like, God, he knows more about me than I know about my redneck.
Is this true? Because I don't want to read it wrong. Did you work at Mel's Diner?
Yeah, when I first got here, yeah.
Gotta make sure.
Yeah, that's a true story.
When she moved to LA, went to Stella Adler Academy right next to Los Tacos, right there on Santa Monica Boulevard.
And I went to the one on Hollywood.
And what street is that?
Hollywood Boulevard.
The
Stella Adler?
I'm talking about the other guy. The one that came out in
Hyman Roth.
Him, yes. He came out in, yeah, him, Hyman Roth.
Oh, yeah.
The he owns the rights to
what's Scott, his name?
Strasburg.
Lee Strasburg.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I thought you went to that one.
No, I thought about going to that one, but they're like, nah, you're already crazy enough. Let's go to Stella Adler. I was like, all right, that's cool.
How does a girl from Galveston, Texas decide she wants to be an actress?
Well, you know, it's crazy because, I mean, I grew up right outside of Houston, like 30 minutes out in a little small town called Richmond, Texas, right? And like that, we grew up behind the tracks, like the hood. And so like Hollywood and everything seems so far-fetched. Like you think to yourself like, okay, one, you're Hispanic, you're growing up with a single mom, you know, there's no time. Like my mom never had enough money to put me in acting classes, do all that stuff. It was always like, you know, pay all the bills. We got to do all this and all that. And so I just never thought of it as something I could do. One thing she did instill in me was like, you have to go to college. No matter what you do, you're going to be the first one to graduate high school. You're going to be the first one to go to college, and you have to like finish it. So she had planted that seed in my head since I was a little girl. So I was like, man, as soon as I left high school, I just wanted to come to LA. I was like, no, I want to go to Hollywood. You know, I want to go take classes there. And she's like, no, mija, look, you got to go to school porque si no, no va a haber money. And I was like, you know, it's like that mentality of like that theater doesn't bring you money, you know, or like acting doesn't give you money. So I was like, okay, fine. You know, I got to finish it. And then afterwards, you know, I went through some things, you know, I pretty much did everything that they needed me to do. And then one day I was just like, you know what, I'm going to go. Like, I'm just going to leave. And that was hard, you know, because I had to tell my aunts, I had to tell my grandma, my mom, and like, they were just like, well, what do you mean? You're going to leave us? Like, you don't love us no more? And I was like, no, I do. It's just, I have to go do stuff. You know, I have to go follow my heart.
And you were like Wonder Woman leaving the island full of women.
Yeah, no, it was.
No, don't go over there.
I must go.
You'll lose all your powers.
Yeah, something like that.
So, growing up, what were the shows that you used to watch and say, man, I want to be something like that?
Well, you know, it wasn't even anything that. Like, I grew up watching telenovelas, you know. I used to watch Saved by the Bell, Fresh Prince. I related to a lot of those, but I loved reading books. You know, I would just hide in a little. I was really quiet and shy. So I would, like, hide in a corner and, like, read my books. And I'd imagine myself being these characters and really playing them out. And it wasn't until I got to middle school and the teacher handed me a script. And it was like little like fairy dust that kind of just came over me. And I was like, oh, my God, I love this. Like, I love this character. Like, I love, you know, the structure. And it just from there. And I took theater classes in school. You know, I was like, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I can. You know, maybe my mom doesn't have money, but that doesn't mean I can't do whatever I can with my means of, you know, my resources. So, yeah, I just kept thinking it, but I kept my dreams quiet. I wouldn't tell people like that I had dreams of to do stuff like this because, you know, like people don't believe it. They're like, no, well, you think you're all bad or what? You know?
Oh, yeah, man. That shit in the hood.
You think you're better than
stupid,
us or what?
Eh?
You're a humble soul.
You're like, stupid. Eh? Did you hear this?
You'd be no fucking
trying
actor.
Trying to be an actress. You're already an actress. You lie all the time. I never told my friend that I wanted to be a comedian, man. I only told a couple of people, like the guy that used to help me out, Smedrix, Robert. I think that was his name, Hendrix, or Kendrick, whatever his name was. Lali Dottie, you know who you are if you're listening. Anybody from the project who knows this podcast, you know who Lali Dottie is. He was the first guy. I told him I want to be a comedian, but I wanted to, bro. Like, I wanted to be.
It's a desire, dude.
But I never saw it, like, as work or just want to, I don't want to be famous.
Right.
I just want to make people laugh. Yeah. I want to see the reaction. I want feedback, bro. What did Robert De Niro's book, Robert De Niro's line and Mad Glory, Madman Glory, when he's playing a stand-up comedian? No, Bill Murray.
Mad Dog and Glory.
Mad Dog and Glory. He goes, I chose to be a stand-up comedian because what he says, I expect adulations for, never mind, let's move on.
Approval, I think it was.
I crave approval.
Yeah.
Or
some people need attention.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get it at home, so they're like, they need to do it for attention.
Yeah, some people say you need to do, people do that shit for attention, but I don't believe that. Maybe some performers, but not all.
I watch it in movies when they have a round table and everybody in a family is talking and they're all being funny, like in, when Eddie Murphy, you know,
The
Clumps. And I'm thinking, in my family, they would have told me to shut the fuck up already. Like my right. dad told me many times he would bang the table. Ya cabrón, ya para pinche chichoto, pinche payaso gratis.
I was funny in other places, not at my house.
Yeah, right. You're never funny at home. Like, what are you doing?
¿Qué para comer? Really? But you look funny over there with that little fork. You look funny, bro. Like when you pass out all the forks. And this fool got the little one for some reason, bro.
The baby
like, it's our little bro. Like, we're dying, bro.
We're
looking at my father
it.
Going, when is this piece of shit going to ask for a bigger fork?
Yeah.
But trying to be off bad seat.
You know, that's funny because that's one of the things that I noticed about I've been meeting a lot of really successful, like, stand-up comedians like yourself and, like, actors and people that really are genuine and come from, like, a, you know, that they just... They talk about that, how they just got that feeling one day. You know, they're like, I felt like I needed to do this and I was scared. I didn't know who to tell, you know, so I kept my dream private or like I would tell some people and then they would laugh. So every time something like that would happen, you know, they would just protect that dream. It's like the pursuit of happiness. You know what they say is like, you got a dream, you got to protect it. You know, people are going to tell you you can't do something because they can't do it for themselves. So I held on to that. Yeah,
it ain't going to happen like in the movies, man. Like you're watching a movie, it's dark. And you're scared by yourself, and an old gypsy lady walks up to you. You're gonna be the wolf man.
Right.
Lon Chaney.
Right.
And the wolf man. Nobody picks you up, man. I think it just happens, bro.
Yeah.
And the way you become famous is not by your choice, it's the audience. It's weird, like the audience knows who they're gonna gravitate you for some reason.
Yeah.
Like so many people, like, I'm gonna be famous, but the one thing you get there, you don't have the extra
it's
stuff.
It's the it factor.
The pizzazz. Yeah.
There's something that you can just see in somebody.
Patois. You have that.
Thanks. I'm still trying to figure out what that it factor is.
We don't even know what it is, Vanessa.
You can't define
but
it.
But when we see it on the screen, yep, she's going to be somebody.
It's like when Neil Brennan used to ask you, why aren't you in more movies?
And he's a writer.
He's a writer of Chappelle's
Show. You haven't written one, you piece of shit. Put me in it.
I know the first time I got here and someone was like, you have that it factor. I'm like, I'm a clown? I'm scary or what? Like, I don't know.
But... Hello, Georgie.
Yeah, you come out of sewers.
Come out of sewers. Like,
she's the it factor. She was out of sewers. And,
so what are you trying
an
to
abandoned
say?
Clown.
And we're vulnerable, you know, we're sensitive. Yeah,
what was the first role you ever got?
You know, it's funny. I was listening to one of your podcasts with Chingo Bling the other day. And my very first, like, little TV gig was Chingo Bling music video.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Out in Texas or L.A.?
Texas, Houston. Okay. Yeah.
Down at the Taco Shack.
It was a Walk Like Leto music video. Okay. And it was crazy because I went in there, like, I was at the club, you know, with my homegirls, and they were passing out flyers like, hey, you know, we got this audition. We're looking for dancers and actors. And at the time, I was taking theater, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go in there with my monologue and my headshot. They're going to, like, someone's going to cast me. But it didn't say on there what it was for. They didn't put Chingo Bling or nothing.
Oh, okay.
So I went in, I showed up to this hotel, and they had, like, there was tons of girls out there. There's, like, a huge cattle call. They all had numbers on there, like, about to run a marathon. And so they just slapped the number on me, and I waited my turn. And then when I finally got up there, there was, like, a whole panel like this, right, of all dudes. And then the director looked at me, and he was like, okay, we're going to go ahead and play the song, and then you start dancing. And I was like, oh, wait, like, hold on, what's going on? And they're like, well, what do you think this is? It's a music video audition. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I was like, I thought it was some audition. I were looking for actors. He was like, and they all started busting out laughing at me. Chico, they were all laughing. And I was like, I'm sorry. They're like, well, what did you prepare? I was like, I prepared my monologue. And the director was like, okay, guys, hold on 1 second. So he took me to the side. He was like, look, you got a monologue? And I was like, yeah, I got my headshot. I got my resume. He was like, he looked at it, turned around. He goes, how long you been acting? And I was like, for a while, but, like, I haven't really done much, just mostly theater. And then he was like, okay, but look, this is a music video audition. You're still going to have to, they're going to have to see if your twerk works. And I was like, all right.
Damn.
So they like, he's like, can you dance? I was like, yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I can pop, lock, and drop it. And so they like put the song on that was like Chingo was doing. And I did a little freestyle hip hop. And then at the end, they were just like, all right, thank you. We'll call you. And I was like, man, I didn't get it, you know? So I left. And then like a week later, some lady calls me and she's like, you don't call me back or what? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, I've been calling you. And I was like, for what?
Oh, Chinga Bling.
Chinga Bling.
Mommy.
Right, what? No. I think it was his sister, though, in real life.
Chinguita.
And they're all like, I got to meet them all, and I'm like good friends with all his sisters chingona. And everybody. They're all chingonas, super chingonas.
They were chingon.
No, they're all hustlers, man. No. You see, no,
they are, man.
We had him on the show before.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, so buy this and put a chingo bling on it. Yeah. And it sells it. Jesus Cross.
So yeah, and then they just call me and they're like, yeah, you got the lead part. And I was like, all right, cool.
And that's funny, man. I picture you showing up ready with your tutu and your tap dance shoes.
How old were you?
I was like, damn, I think I was like 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The hustle's real.
Yeah. And but when it was
you,
good.
When you were there, man, did you look around going, man, las concas here?
No, the thing is that they didn't pay attention to me. I walked into hair and makeup, and like I'm pretty skinny, you know, as I'm already 19. I was looking like I was 11 years old, you know. So all the girls in there were voluptuous, big old titties and like big butts and everything. And so they were looking at me like,
H-Town oh, it's finest.
they were looking at me like, oh, it's just an extra, you know. So they like threw me to the side. And so I was waiting and waiting. And then finally the director comes, he's like, hey, what are you doing? I need the root. They were calling me the rooster girl. Like, I need the rooster.
They're like, el gallo.
Yeah, I had to pick up a real rooster. Like, I stole his rooster at the club. That was the whole like premise. And so
that's a crazy video.
Yeah, it was the director comes, he's like, can you get her ready? And they're like, oh, who? And they're like, her. And I was like, a little twig in the corner, like, oh yeah, come on, get over here, girl. And so they like fixed me up, and then they finally threw me out there. And then he's like, okay, we're gonna give you a rooster, you're good with chickens, right? And I was like, yeah, I mean, we had a couple of them growing up, I think I'm fine, I just can't kill them though. He was like, no, it's fine. So they handed me a rooster, just like threw it on me. Next thing I was the rooster girl.
They handed her a cock.
They handed me a cock. I was like, you know what? I don't have a lot of experience.
I don't have a lot of experience. I never seen one outside in the daytime. That is crazy ass video.
Hell yeah.
Hey, bro, you ever held a pit bull? Hold on to killer right here. That is crazy. You show up all of a sudden, you got to hold a chicken? No, your role, you're stealing a chicken. Wow. Imagine, man, all those chicken that came to audition for that role and didn't get it. Like, there was a prize chicken showed up. Come on, man, I've been in KFC commercials.
I was scared that I thought it was going to be like one of those fighting roosters, you know? But it wasn't. It was actually his real pet rooster.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow.
Named Cleto.
Cleto. Named after Cleto Rodriguez.
Little leash on it, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't Cleto a slang term Cletus. For the coxcomb? I've heard that. No, that's Creta, I think. Never mind. Sorry.
We'll get back.
I'll cut that out.
Look it up.
I'm going to Google that.
I don't know.
Never mind. I'm
thinking. I know clitoris.
No, it's a crest, right?
It's Creta or Creta. Oh. I think that's how the Dominican guys
Sopeta.
Pronounce it.
Sopeta. What's up here? What's up, fool? We're here with Vanessa Vasquez from East Los High. How many seasons that on?
Well, we just finished. Last year was the season finale. I mean, series finale. We shot a movie and the show's done. So we did 5 years though.
Oh, five. Like, I thought there were four.
There was four seasons, but this last year we did a movie to wrap it up. So yeah. It was like 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We gotta watch it. It was good, man.
Hell of a run, man.
It was shot on the first season. How many episodes? A lot of episodes, huh?
Yeah, there was 24. Yeah.
Because they came with a finished
we
season.
We spoke to the main guy. What's his name?
We met, I can't remember his name, the Cuban guy.
Ortiz.
No.
The producer.
Mauricio?
No, the older guy. He's got like short gray hair, real short.
Executive producer of the show.
Yeah, he's the creator of the show.
I don't know.
I can't think of his name. I have to look it up. But
there was a few people that started off in the beginning, and then, and they changed after season two.
But we had a development meeting with him, but he was a fan
Emiliano?
Of Felipe's. Maybe, yeah. He was a fan
with
of
Ray's TV?
No.
Oh.
He was, he's the one that hired me to write. On the show.
Mm-hmm. Felipe tagged up some.
I tagged up season three.
Oh, you did?
I wrote a lot of jokes. Like I wrote a funny line for you. And I wrote a line when I think it's your older mom. It kicks out the dad.
Yeah.
I wrote a funny line for her right there.
Oh, really?
And she said it. And I was like.
What line was
it? I forgot, man. It was about, it was like the domestic joke that I did. And I gave it to her.
Oh, it was like your molestation thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I gave her a molestation line that was pretty funny, but it was hardcore
too. Hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, I said, what did I say? Oh yeah, when you get molested, because I used to say when you get molested in a Latino house, it's always your fault. It's always your fault.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, they never come up to you. They never ask you what happened, where did it hurt you. It's always, what were you wearing?
Yeah, what so were you doing? That, what did you do?
I gave her that line.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember what she
shorts,
told me that
what
line.
What shorts were you wearing? Or
yeah, what
like
shorts
that?
Were you wearing?
That's the punchline.
Yeah. I remember. I said that. I used to have a joke about it. I said, it's a perfect line for that lady right there, because she's from her character. What were you wearing? Because they always blame it on you. Like, what the fuck, eh? He touched me.
I remember that line. It was live, but
it's hard to watch that show, man. But it's a good show because there's scenes that, like, Vanessa's character, she was sexually molested by her father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you've never been in a situation like that, you would know that it's hard to tell somebody. And then, like, it feels like, it's like when you have a friend, a best friend, and that's your best friend, but then you have this other asshole who used to be your friend, but you know this motherfucker's evil, he's vile. He's a rock, he's a thief, he's a piece of shit, but your new best, your other friend likes him, but you don't want to, like, you don't know how to tell them, you know, like, warn them, this is a piece of shit, because they're not going to believe you.
You don't want to look like a bad guy.
And that's hard to watch on that show, but it's good. It's good, man. It's so good.
Yeah, I still get emails from people and messages on social media about, like, people who related to it so much, especially that storyline, and how that specific storyline inspired them to come out and tell people, you know, and how to, like, find the hero within themselves, you know, to, like, seek the help that they needed. So it was good, yeah.
And also, like, your character always stood the same. Like, your character very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be, like, you could hold shit down there. Like, you could be, like, a cartel boss, basically. You know, because you're strong, man. You can see it in the show. And you never got pregnant. I also like that part too.
Well, actually, I think on season 4 I got pregnant.
Oh, did you?
But I had an
abortion.
I
want to go in fresh.
But I had an abortion.
I didn't want it.
Yeah. And
but
it was
still,
about that whole thing of, like, making that decision for yourself.
But
you know
still,
what I mean?
Even there, that's still a strong decision. She knows I can't take care of this baby. I got to take care of myself first. And that's one thing a lot of people, when they have a teenage pregnancy, they never think about. They're always thinking about it. It's always like, instead of, they always bash you. Like, when I got my girlfriend pregnant in high school, nobody said, we're going to work this through.
Right.
We're going to take care of the baby.
And, yeah.
Nobody ever says this. Okay, this is what's going to happen. You got somebody pregnant. You're 16. You're 17. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Both of you guys, no, both families never get together and go, okay, we're going to get through this. Both of you guys are young. We're going to help you guys with a baby while you guys are still in school. You guys are going to graduate high school, and you're going to go to college, and we're going to watch the baby, and that we're going to help you out this way. Now, if I had that kind of help in the beginning, I would have never had two more.
Probably not.
I would have never had two more.
Because you took on all the pressure yourself.
There would have been more pressure. I would have been, okay, my family is going to help me. You know, where's the fucking family when somebody gets pregnant, bro? Nobody. Everybody hides.
It only happens on TV.
But they don't. But the same family.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
But that same family didn't want to talk to you about protection either.
No, the same family never told me to pull out.
No. Not pull out, but birth control.
My mom would have told me, or my dad would have told me, I told them when you first put it in, it's going to feel so good.
There's not even to talk about the birds and
it's
the
bees. It's going to feel so good. But you got to pull out. When you wanted that ice cream when you were little, and I kept telling you to wait and wait, and you were getting madder and madder, but if I would have gave it to you right away, you would have ate it all at once. That's how sex is. Or something.
Yeah, man.
My mom would just told me this. You know, baby, don't call me. What would it call your ass?
Shit.
I felt like that at 32 when I had my son.
I know your mom said, what?
She said, no.
You're still in college.
Oh, my God.
I was done. I was in grad school. No, I was done. I was done with school. She's crazy. I don't want to digress.
East Los High.
Carlos Portugal.
Carlos Portugal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know him?
Yeah, he's a creator. Yeah.
And they created it and worked with Planned Parenthood and other social organizations to, like, kind of make it. But see, I respect that decision to get an abortion because a lot of times lately, really since, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, they don't do abortion stories where the girl chooses that anymore. Not like it's promoting it, but it's not even showing it as an option anymore or that somebody some people do make that decision in real life. Because in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, she gets an abortion. That same writer later on wrote Singles. She gets in a car accident and the baby's gone. You know, conveniently gone from the, she had a miscarriage from the car accident. You know, so she copped out there. But that does happen. Like, she had a one-night stand and got pregnant from it. She didn't have an abortion. She got into an accident. So to do that choice, it is hardcore now.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting more conservative, you know, afraid to show that.
And the way Carlos wrote it was very practical. You know, they didn't make a big deal about it. She just basically said, you know what, I thought about it, and I just dropped out of school, you know, and I'm trying to get back. And I have this deal, you know, going on with the lawyers, and I'm young. I don't have any money. I can barely afford a ticket to, you know, go to the clinic. Like, so there's no way I can take care of a baby. And then her boyfriend was a drug dealer, too. So it was like, there's no way no one's going to help me. My mom's not there. My dad's not there, obviously. So it was a very practical decision for her. And she just, like, they didn't make a big deal about it.
Because you were, like, the getaway driver, right? Or you were driving or something for the drug dealers, right? In one of the seasons?
Okay, to Vegas.
That's right. She was, like, doing transportation. She was doing runs with that guy.
Yeah.
Nicholas?
Yeah.
I was trying to protect my boyfriend.
Yeah.
A lot of women end up in prison by helping their boyfriends.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Most of the women in prison are
Orange and New Black.
Yeah.
Orange is a new brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the episodes.
Yeah.
How did you get that role?
You know, I auditioned like everybody else.
Everybody in the show got auditioned?
Everybody got auditioned. Well, some people like Prince Royce, you know, some people got that already had but popularity or just kind of got offers. But I auditioned. I came out here like green. I was like hungry. And I remember seeing Blanca Valdez. She was a casting director. I saw her at FedEx and I was printing out some headshots, and season one had just happened. But I heard that they were starting new storylines for East Los High. And I was like, oh my God, I love that show. I got to be on that show. It's like everything that I grew up with. And so I saw her and I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And I went up to Blanca Valdez. I was like, hi, Blanca. My name is Vanessa Vasquez. I just got to L.A. like about a year ago. I'm taking classes here. And here's my headshot resume. Like, call me, you know, if anything comes up. And then we did a couple panels afterwards. You know, she said that moment that I did that, she realized that I was going to play Camila. She was like, I just knew it. Like something like told me. So I went into audition. There must have been like hundreds of girls that they auditioned. And it was like a 3-month process. I just kept going in, and I was like, they would tell me that the first time they're like, okay, do it like this. And the second time I went in, they were like, okay, now do it like that. And then I waited 2 more months and they called me in, did some chemistry reads, and they're like, okay, now we want you to do it like this, but also with this and then also with that and all that. And I was like, God damn. I was like, all right. So I just, you know, you just got to go for it. Just give them what they want and have no fear. And so I did. And then a week later they called me and they're like, you want to play Camila? I was like, hell yeah. And it was just like the best call ever, you know.
Man, those 3 months will kill me, bro. That's why comedians fall out, bro.
The suspense.
The 3 months will kill me, bro. Man, what were you doing for those 3 months? What kind of job you had? Because I know like waiting and starving would have killed me.
No, you know, actually, that was at the point where I wasn't at Mel's anymore. No, I had just finished 2 years being here, and honestly, the hardest part about being here is being here alone with no family. And especially, I'm Mexican American. I grew up with a big family. I was always with my family like every weekend. So being alone, that feeling of loneliness was killing me. And so many times I thought to myself, like, I'm just going to get in my car and I'm going to pack and I'm going to go back to Texas because I can't take it anymore. I need to be with my family. And so then the audition happened. They had a callback, and then I was in Texas and I was really thinking like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm just not going to go back. Like, fuck it. I gave it 2 years, you know? And then, but something kept telling me like, no, wait, hold on, you know, like go back, you know, just wait a little bit. And then my manager at that time had called me. She's like, you gonna come back? They're doing auditions again. They want you to come back. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. I'm going to be right there, you know? And then when I was in Texas, they had called me to audition for a film, and I had booked that film. So that film actually brought me back here, and I shot it.
What was that film?
It was called Sins of a Call Girl. And Sins of a Skonka.
Sins of a Sucia.
So I really liked it. I was going to play a lead. It was my first film that I was going to play out here. So that film brought me back. And while I was filming that the first 2 weeks in January, is when they had called me to go back to do my chemistry reads for East Los. And then right after the film ended, like the last day I was on set, they had called me to tell me I had booked East Los High.
Man, you got to be young to go through all that stuff, man. You hit 30, you know what? Fuck this. They ain't going to work out.
Were you auditioning relentlessly up until that time when you were here for 2 years?
No, actually, you know, I wasn't.
Just training?
I was training. Like, it took me a while to get, like, a real audition. Even an agent, it took me a while that people think, like, oh, you know, you're cute, you're pretty, you know, right. It's going to be no problem. But, I was competing with people that had been in the industry since they were little, you know, so I knew I had a lot of catching up to do. I was like, I don't have time to play games. I was in class like 8 hours a day for like a year and a half. I was trying to catch up with people who had been like child actors, you know. I had to really push myself. So, yeah, I mean, it took me a while to get an agent. Even my agent, like, I had to be real chinguana about getting her. Like, I only had, like, $40 in my account. I did one of those, those workshops where you could go meet the casting director and the agent. And it was, like, $35. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to only live off $5 for the next 2 weeks if I have
to.
And I went in, did my audition for them. I did a comedic monologue and a dramatic. And I basically just laid it down for her. I was like, look, I'm working my ass off. I need a badass agent, someone who's going to really help me, and I have no one to help me. Either you're going to help me or you're not. If you want to, call me later. And I walked out of the room. And then, like, 4 hours later, they called me. They're like, oh, we want to rep you. You know, I was like, thank you, finally, you know? So, yeah, it's you just got to really push yourself. You believe in something, you work hard at it, and just be chingona about it.
And that Stella Adler, you got a scholarship?
I did, yeah. I went in. I had saved up some money when I was in Texas. I had done some research. I wanted to study at the best acting school that a lot of my favorites had studied. And so I went over there, and then when I got there, I ran out of money like my first month. I was like, damn, like I mean, Texas, you can live off $6,000 for like at least 6 months. Out here, they were gone in like 2 months. And then I didn't know what to do. And so I saw that they had scholarships, and I was like, I'm going to try. You know, what do I have to lose? So I applied. I had done a lot of community work with my theater, too. And I think they really liked that. You know, they really liked that I was using my skills and talent for, like, the better of the community. So they called me, and they're like, yeah, we're going to give you a scholarship. You know, whatever you need to help you out, here it goes. And so, like, that was another miracle. You know, I called my mom. My mom was like, oh, my God, thank God. You know, like, I just felt like doors were opening for me. You know, like, they say that when you have a dream, the whole universe conspires to help you achieve it. And, you know, like, I just saw that as, like, my little pathway, my little part of my journey.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who are your influences as far as acting goes?
You know, right now, I really look up to Eva Longoria, Salma Hayek, America Ferrera. Like, I love the way that they've sort of taken into their own hands this entertainment industry, you know, and becoming producers. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm being actress / producer and developing my own content as well. And so I look up to them a lot, and I see, like, damn, they did it. They paved the way. I feel like because they did it, I can do it too. You know, I just got to figure it out like they did.
Oh, you know, yeah. I've never seen, bro, in the same room.
Who, fool?
America Ferrera and Gina Rodriguez. I think they're the same person.
They play similar.
Like, when I think about, I work with America Ferrera all the time on Superstore all the time. 3 episodes, but still.
That's well, episode. You shot four.
This is regular.
You shot four, and you have a fifth one coming up.
Oh, well, nice.
Shot five.
You shot five, and you have a sixth one coming
up. I'll have a sixth one coming up.
Maybe.
When I leave, and then when I see Gina Rodriguez on TV, I just work with her, and I say, no, I didn't. Stop lying. Gina from Chicago.
Yeah.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres right here from East Los High, the new season. this one's all about sports. He's Coach Rodriguez. I was watching that show, man. I was hoping it would bring me in as a coach. Like, you know, you watch a show, you're already writing it. Goes, yeah, then I was writing. Then Felipe came in as a coach. Like, they needed a coach.
You should have wrote
I could have been
in.
Mr. Macias from Holland Back.
That
would have been perfect. Pages. I would have showed up with armpit stains all the time, sweaty back, just creeping up the girls.
You would have been a great character. What?
With little shorts and Converse.
It was funny with that show. I thought they were going to add like a Jaime Escalante in there or something tight. Inspired the suits, but it never happened.
I just remember right now.
What?
What I'm thinking about those sweats. I saw this movie with Jack Black on Netflix. It was about
a
Polish singer.
He's a polka king.
He's a polka king, bro. But he does a Ponzi scheme with all the old Polish people in the area.
It's hilarious. Dude, it's really good.
There's a scene where he promised all these old people that they're going to meet the Pope. And he's right there with what's his name, right? Schwarzen?
Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman. He's all sweating. He's like worried, bro.
He's sweating because he's worried.
Bro, they're going to catch. Well, what are you doing? They're going to catch us. Then when they finally meet the Pope, this fool wearing a three-piece suit. Sweat from the bottom and sweat in the back, bro.
Yeah, like wings on his shoulder blades. Like just sweat all over his suit. He was so nervous.
So when
that
I thought about
fail.
That, I thought about when I could have been the coach at East Los High, bro. just a walkthrough. You're just talking shit. Good luck, because. You know, the guy selling weed.
What's that movie called, fool?
Which one?
The Jack Black.
The Poker King.
Yeah?
Dude, it's stupid.
Stupid funny.
Look out for my Netflix movie coming out next week. Made up. Nobody cut him out. So before East Los High, you were not on any other show?
No, I came out here. And it's funny because
But now they say I seen you on stuff before East Los High now, huh?
No.
That Chingo Bling.
That's in that Chingo Bling. You're the rooster girl for Chingo Bling. Like, why? I don't know.
I auditioned for that.
I bet you saw my part. When I came out here, you know, a lot of actors come out here because they got a movie going on, you know, something that brought them out here. I didn't have anything. I just felt like something in my gut was telling me.
Yeah, sense of a call girl.
Sense of a call girl. Had me come back. No, it was before that. Like, I just felt like it was time. You know, I was like, I have nothing else going for me in Houston. It's time to go.
Where'd you go? You should do that movie, bro.
Which one?
It should be called Sins of the Guy Who Called the Call Girl.
The Sins of the Exterminator.
That's what's up, fool? Oh, shit. Yep. Crackling noise here.
Dang. What's going on?
So, was it fun working on the show? Because it looked like all those people.
Man,
drama.
We had a blast.
Did you meet any Harvey Weinsteins?
No, thankfully.
Any Harvey Weinsteinos?
No.
Mexican Harvey Weinsteins? Casting couch?
Harvey Wieners?
Yes.
No, we didn't see any of that. thank God, man. They made her hold a chicken.
What was it like hanging out with actors? Because I like to hang out. When I was in LA City College, I want to stab all of them, bro.
All those thespians?
Yeah, walking around like it's fame. I'm glad, bro, that everybody that I didn't like in an acting class when I was going to LA City College, it's nowhere around no more. And I'm still here. Yeah. You know what pissed me off about acting class? Acting school, always bring it up, man. I practiced a routine with these three assholes for our grade at LA City College. And I have Philip with me. Man, I don't give a fuck. I would take my son to school with me, to college. When I was going to junior college, my girlfriend was at work, and I would take him to school with me. So that day, we were running late. And my stupid ass teacher, those assholes went up there and did the piece without me. So I didn't get no grade.
Damn.
So I told Philip, stay over here. You're going to hear some screamings. If anything happens.
You brought your son.
And I told him, if anything happens, run to the office over there. Your grandma works there. Anna's mom, your grandma works there. Then I went over there. I told the guy, what? First of all, man, I have no tact. I have no way to talk to somebody when I'm mad.
No tact.
I don't have a publicist back then. Feeding me lines. I said, listen, you fucking piece of shit. Right away, everyone got scared, bro. They started moonwalking out of there slowly.
It's going down.
How can you fucking let them do that shit without me in it, man? Why? You knew I wasn't here. You should have let someone else go. Why they got to go first, you piece of shit? Then that fool got all quiet. And then I just walked away. I remember seeing that fool at Vons, and I ran into him one time with my shopping cart. You think this is going to go away? I'm never going to forget you, you asshole. I'm never going to fucking forget you, you piece of shit. And I kept bumping him until he got out of Bonds.
And
they stopped teaching after that.
He needs to learn how to teach.
Oh, my God.
I told him I was in his class. I always talks about stories, bro. And I would, like, stand up. But can we just move to the class? We don't want to know other people that made it. We know you didn't.
Oh, my God.
I just felt cocky because, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you go to acting class, you have something already that's your livelihood. you know, you make a very good living as a
comic.
It's
different when you have nothing.
So you don't have to rely on that class as much as these other people do. It's a side thing for you, something you want to go into, but it's not the end of the world if this class doesn't work out, you know, and that's the attitude you go in with.
That's the attitude I have with a comedian. Listen, man, I'm a stand-up comedian, man. My roles are going to come the way Kevin Hart's roles come. They're going to be written for him.
People write parts for you all the time. Superstore was written for me.
I walked in there,
you didn't have to audition.
Did you have to write that, or somebody wrote it?
Somebody wrote it. But how funny it was when I got there.
He improvises.
When I got there, I was like, I thought they were going to give me a smock, you know, like America Ferrera, another name tag, you know.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I'm too ugly for that, eh? I'm a warehouse guy.
Oh, my God.
Like a warehouse jumpsuit.
All my life, I was in a warehouse. Never got into a department store. It was too ugly.
Your back of the house staff.
I'm in the back of the house. If that would have been like a seafood place, I would have been the guy peeling the shrimp.
Opening the oysters.
You know, I wouldn't have been the hostess.
I would have been shucking.
Meryl G would have been the funny guys in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Smoking a joint with the cooks.
My first job was at McDonald's, and I really wanted to work in the back, like learn how to make hamburgers and stuff. I was all excited, like, hell yeah, I'm going to learn how to make this.
So she's from
they're like,
staff,
no, you're going to go in the front because you got a pretty smile, you got good teeth. We're going to put you on like.
We noticed you don't have pimples. Like the fry girl over there. She's 30.
Yeah.
Still good for people.
I should bother that when I would work with paisas, man. And he's working too hard. Like at lunchtime, he's still working. Hey, Rogelio, calmate, cabrón. You want to get deported, fool? You got to be undercover. You got to be lazy like me.
I heard that you were getting into stand-up.
Yeah, actually, I just had my first stand-up show couple weeks ago on the 11th. Yeah.
Where at?
Flappers. Yeah, it was fun, you know, and it was kind of like what you guys were talking about, like, you know, going into acting class. But like to me, I always had stories
Fuck
that
this
I had comedy
written. Class.
No, I was like, a lot of the girls in there were like, it was like, that's what they want to do, you know, and I respect that, you know, but I was like, I was scared, you know, I was like, oh man, I have to go up and like tell stories and make people laugh. That's hard. Like, I respect you guys so much. And I always, I'm so inspired by the fact that you guys can go tell jokes and inspire people at the same time. You know, you just move the crowd. So every time I'm just like in this other world when I watch you guys. So I wanted to try it out. And I was like, let me just go see if I got something. I don't know.
What was your first joke?
My first joke? What was it about? Oh, it was about me growing up skinny and how like whenever I was like skinny, the guys, they wouldn't talk to me because I had no titties, you know? So I was like, I wanted to get some titties growing up, and I thought that I was going to ever make it out the hood. I had to give me some titties. So I started chugging in sugar cans, and the guys were like, Vanessa, you gaining weight? And I was like, yeah, but when you're skinny, it goes on the wrong places. And they'd come up to me and be like, yeah, girl, you look like a toothpick that swallowed a marble. You pregnant? And I was like, oh, damn, man. And so people actually got that. I was like, dang. But, I don't know. It went a lot better on Flappers.
It's all good.
It's all good, man.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning. Go easy.
If you ever want to do that joke in a cleaner way, just say that. I remember somebody told me if I cross my arms, my titties will get bigger. But now I'm walking around like a worried woman.
I know.
Nobody likes me.
Yeah, no, it was. I had a good time. My jokes actually landed at that time, so I was surprised.
Hell yeah, man. Have you gotten the pickup line from comedians yet? Hey, we should hang out together and write.
Actually, maybe a couple too. I thought they were serious though. I was like, oh my god, they really care.
They're not. Nobody's serious. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants. You thought acting was tough. Comedy is different, man. Right here, man. We look at you like we want you to make it. The thing about stand up comedy is that they only congratulate you when you bomb. And then they tell you they're good. But you know deep down inside you didn't. That's when they tell you they're good.
Yeah.
When you're really, really funny, nobody's going to walk up to you because you don't need to. You intimidate them now. They're going to separate him. That's what happened to me, bro. I became a solo guy.
And then your friends start asking, how'd you get that gig? Who books that?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of congratulating.
How'd it go?
That's always been your comment.
How'd it go? Yeah.
How'd it go?
I got that. So how many times? Were you funny?
Were you funny?
Were you really funny? And I was like, I don't know.
How many
times? Watch my video. I mean, people laughed. I don't know.
How many times did you perform?
I only did it once. Yeah.
Should go back.
But I've been doing a lot of open mics for a while, and I'm gonna keep doing it until I don't know. I'm inspired to get back on.
Just keep doing it. Keep doing
it. It's scary. Oh yeah. My god.
Go to places where like, just look up open mic, and go to places right there where like nobody goes. You
know, go there. That's where I was going. I was like, nobody knows me.
Go with one person only. Only one person, or better yet, don't go alone, because then when you, it's better to drive home alone. And thinking about it, instead of keep asking over and over, how did I do?
Yeah.
Just record yourself.
Record yourself.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. That really helped me out, too.
Carry a notebook. If you see something stupid, you write it down. Like what I write down the other day that was funny.
Yeah, look, I got a notebook right here, see? My little notebook.
Yeah.
I got some jokes. I'm working on them.
Yeah, Rodrigo right here. Just do impersonations. Give me something, Rodrigo.
Hey, how you guys doing, ladies and gentlemen?
I saw you. Something. I heard you doing Trump earlier.
Oh yeah,
he's good.
Okay. Just keep doing what you do it from your heart. Okay, don't be a shithole.
It's like three steps removed from Gandolfini.
A little bit. Oh, almost, I'm tired right now. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's good. I'm just saying you could see how it could morph into one.
Oh, fool. Guess who we seen over at the Red Lion Tavern, dog? You would have went crazy.
You went to the Red Lion Tavern?
I love the Red Lion.
We had a little drink before we went out to dinner. Oh, how you doing? My name's Nick Cage. Pleasure to meet you.
Is there Nicholas Cage?
Yeah, with the little China girl, dude.
Nicholas Cage?
Yeah.
What's a China girl?
An Asian lady.
David Bowie, my China girl.
Yeah, you never heard the song?
Oh, yes, you shut your mouth.
Yeah, thank
Nicholas,
you.
Nicholas, you went to Red Lion Tavern in Silver Lake?
Yeah, he was chilling right there. We walked in.
See, that's the incognito place, though, man. Yeah. Disappear in that place.
I'm sure he ended the night there, too, like be under the piano.
I used to go there, man. Nobody knew me there. Everybody spoke German, and I used to get fucked up.
Talk German.
I started speaking German. Eins, zwei, Schufer. Yeah, man. It was those ladies knew me every Monday night.
The big old bosom ladies.
Yeah, man.
That older one, the old original one, still there, dog. She's been there since like the early 60s.
The one that looks like a chola in the German outfit?
No, the other one, she looks like an old dog. Sorry, but anyways, she does. Dude. The old blonde one, the old lady, she's like 70.
A pug.
Yeah, kind of like a hound.
I think I know who she is because I will walk in there on Monday night because I only came in on Monday night, and she'll look at me and go, like her whole shoulder, her life will drop. Like the play was gonna close in 2 hours, now it looks like it's gonna close in four. Oh, man.
He's never gonna leave.
Not the Wiener Schnitzel.
Remember that one time we went over there and the landlord, the setup, his daughter was there. She acted like she didn't know us. Anyways,
and what happened?
No, we kept I went over there. Hey, you know your mom and dad rented Felipe. Yeah, I'm on a date right now. Excuse me. And then that other fool said, "Did you want to go ask her dog?" She got all mad, dog, and then left.
She should write a book, bro, about me. The guy that banged my room. No, I used to live in an Australian comedian. You know, man, I found a place for $3.95 a month.
Oh, my God. In LA?
Where?
Frogtown,
man. I used to live on the same street as Emilio Rivera, where he grew up. And it was a back house. That place had a tiny living room, a stand-up bathroom, a toilet, and a window, and a kitchen with a refrigerator and a little oven. $3.95. But my wife was connected to their house, and their daughter was 16 at the time, but now she's maybe 25 now.
30.
But, man, I used to be loud, man. And you hear this all the time. If I get excited, I'd be like, and then when I fell off the wagon, it was like I got totally drunk. It was my first time drunk in like 10 years. We were making a lot of noise. Remember that she came knocking, and we all hid it.
But what was funny, how remember they would knock, and then we would knock, and then one more. And then she came over all, and then all, shut up, dog.
She's speaking her Salvadorian accent. Tanto ruido toda la noche, por favor. Mucho ruido, no puedo dormir. Salute, tanto ruido toda la noche, salute.
Little big-ass hands, dog.
His daughter had big-ass foot, bro.
The Bigfoot family, dog.
She was wearing a sandal. Like, you really? She had the kind of feet that they look cool hanging out a window.
Maybe out of a trailer, tractor trailer.
No, like those hillbilly feet, bro, hanging out the window. Like flying, like her foot was so big, she could fly a kite with her toe.
Like Uma Thurman feet.
Yeah. Probably
we're
even
talking
bigger.
About Uma Thurman, sexy, had long toes.
That's what I'm saying.
Long toes.
Hey, the only thing I miss about that place was the little dog, Fool Max, from the Next Door Neighbors.
It's my dog. What's up, Fool? We got Vanessa Vasquez right here.
What's up?
What you got coming up next besides a luxurious stand-up career?
No, I just did an episode of The Brave. And like I said, I'm working on developing my own TV show right now. I'm thankfully, I'm working with Lionsgate. It's about... Actually, I can't really say yet, but as soon as something comes up, I got to come back. I got to come back and talk about it.
You will come
back.
Hell yeah. Also, man, if you ever, ever, ever want to go up again, ever.
Okay.
Or you go to the a comedy show once a month, a nice audience, and you could just try it out on his show.
Yeah, if you want to work out some material, legitly, don't have to worry about
If you
want to
know,
bullshit.
If you want to like avoid like performing in audiences where a bunch of open micers, Rodrigo, call up Rodrigo, and we have other friends too, Martin Rizzo, Johnny, and those guys are really cool. And you can go do their shows, and then you just pop in, pop out, in and out.
All right, cool.
Just
appreciate
let us know,
that.
Man. And yeah. Those guys are really good writers. They'll tag up your jokes.
Oh, and awesome.
Like this. Well, so you have a Twitter, Instagram, where people can stalk you?
Yeah, everything, Vanessita V. Holla at me.
But it's Vanessita with two N's.
Vanessita with two N's.
And two S's.
Did, not to say that we met that day, but I think I saw you that day with one of the characters from East Los High. Were you at the Oil Awards?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was there?
Yeah.
With Paul Rodriguez and Cheech and Chong, Cheech Marine?
Yeah.
It was at the LA Times Theater a while back.
Okay, yeah. I remember.
You were hanging out with a Disney girl, I think.
Disney girl.
Remember the Oil Awards?
I think we saw her actually at the Blood Drive.
The Blood Drive,
that
too.
Day with Nick Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
Someone
yeah.
hit the Blood Drive at the Children's Hospital. That's mm-hmm. where we saw her. With okay. The guy with the socks.
Yeah,
two socks. Guy from...
But I thought that we saw her at the Oil Awards, too.
Probably there. I mean,
we saw
Gina
there.
I was there the last couple of times that they did it at the LA Times.
This was the first one, I think.
Yeah. Like Gina Rodriguez hosting one.
Gina
was
hosting.
There.
Gina was hosting. She had a blue dress. She killed. Cheech was there and left after his little thing.
Yeah.
It was the very first one.
I don't remember, actually.
You were on the second year.
Okay.
It was fun, huh? Those things are fun, huh?
It was fun. You know, was it like Ana Barbara? You know Ana Barbara? She's like a Mexican singer.
Yeah.
The very first year I went, it was my first year in L.A., I was so excited to get on the red carpet. It was my first red carpet, and I had dressed all nice and everything, got a dress. And then they were clean. I got there late. I didn't know there was a certain time you had to be there. And then one of the photographers stuck around. He was like, oh, we already cleaned up, you know, all the photographers left. But you know what? I'll take some pictures of you. I was like, oh, he's so nice. And so I was going to walk around. Next thing you know, I walk on the red carpet and there's no photographer there. He's not even there. And I'm like looking around and it's Ana Barbara. She just pulls up in this limo and like this big old fur coat and everyone's taking pictures of her. And I was like, oh, that's nice. I guess, you know, Ana Barbara. So I grabbed my phone. I was like, can someone take a picture of me? And he comes back. He's like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I'll take a picture of you. So that's like my first OI experience that I'll never forget. Ana Barbara took my shot.
Oh, hell yeah.
Take my photography.
Hell yeah. So Vanessa Vasquez has Instagram and Twitter. You have a Twitter?
Yeah, everything's Vanessita V.
Vanessita V. Rodrigo, what you got going up?
Right now, nothing. Just fucking be doing spots during the week. And what else? That's it.
This Friday, we're at the Spotlight 29. Larry Bubbles Brown, Rodrigo Torres, myself. Burn. It is sold out. Next week, where are we at?
In Tucson, Sahuarita, Desert Diamond Casino.
Get your tickets.
Almost sold out. You better hurry.
Nice.
And this Friday, actually, if you're listening to this right now, you better get up and get in your car and make it to Primera Taza on 1st Street. But we're going to be selling tickets and cash money.
In-person cash, credit card.
So you probably wonder.
No fees.
We're going to get tickets at, Primera Taza in Boyle Heights. We're going to be giving out chilaquiles.
Yeah, there's some chilaquiles, vegan. Vegan pan dulce. That's made by Raul from Taqueria La Venganza.
If you don't make it for El Pato, I'm going to be mad.
I don't know how he's making it. I doubt he's using El Pato sauce. This is, I know it's your preferred way, but I doubt.
Are you vegan?
Yeah, people don't believe me.
And he's making vegan pan dulce, and I think he's making enough for 200 people, so it should be good. And then free coffee for about 200 people, I think.
What's up, fool? Shout out to Supersonics Publicist. Publicist, right?
Supersonics Media.
Supersonics Media. That's the is your publicist?
Yeah.
Mine too.
Hell yeah.
Man, they be calling me too much, though.
Blowing
question.
You up.
Question. Probably because I never had a publicist, bro. But I don't know, man. I'm old school, bro. Just tell me where to go. Where to stand.
He's almost like you're a little bit more with it than Joey Diaz. You're more down for this stuff than Joey Diaz.
I know, man.
Joey would not put up with
that. I don't need that.
When I found out that they helped Gabriel Iglesias, I was like, really? That guy hates press. He hates it. He didn't want to get up. I remember one time he saw Chris Rock say, the reason I want to be famous is because I don't want to do press in the morning. But then I thought about it. No, man, you can never avoid that.
To be famous, you have to do the press.
If you have a movie coming out, you're gonna do press from fucking 5 in the morning till 10.
It's more.
Then you're gonna get then from 10 to 12. You're gonna get the middle of America, and then you're gonna go back and do West Coast. So you're gonna do 8 hours of press for a week. Am I lying?
You did a ton of press for like 4 weeks before your special came out, and it was like
better
almost
at it,
every
man.
Day. You did
even when
good.
I speak Spanish now, I know what I'm saying.
Your Spanish sounds better. It's clearer.
You do both Spanish too?
Yeah. I had to practice too. I had to like figure out how to say certain words. I was like, okay, how do you say it?
I'd be like, habla despacito, cabrón. What's up, fool? Don't forget, people, East Lows High, and go tell Vanessa Vasquez, you heard her on the What's Up Fool podcast, and you tell them I'm a big fan of your new comedy. Yep. What's up,
Give me at least a year.